He has 6,000 years of experience, and you're no match for him. As a roaring lion, he casts fear into the hearts of people and deceptive lies. And he shakes unstable souls off balance enough to devour them and their children. I want to say tonight to dads, he wants to get you to compromise. Compromise enough to where he can devour and eat your children with drugs and suicide and homosexuality and laziness and warp their minds with education and falsehoods and philosophies of the world and traditions of men and lose your children in secular college by demons disguised as teachers teaching mythology and humanism. The battle is for the mind of the young and for those to compromise, the godly men to compromise their principles. If he can get you to think his thoughts, he can enslave you and hold you prisoner with chains of deception and shackles of fear, and finally shock you with hopelessness in the dungeon of doubt. I'm telling you right now, the devil is real, and you're no match for the devil. The world is looking for something, and we have it. We have the truth, the validity that's unwavering and unmoving. We have the rock, the truth of all ages. And the reason why they call it the rock, because it is stabilizing. We can run to it and be secure. There's a company called the True Value Company that makes a claim that their merchandise is the best quality. Therefore, they have true value. Ace Hardware boasts the same. Walmart, Kmart, Target, Lowe's, and Home Depot, and etc. And on, all claim the same. The highest quality parts and merchandise. But in reality, they're really all the same. They all have the same manufacturer. There's no real special outstanding quality that sets them apart from each other. It's all minimum standard and cheap and overpriced. Years ago, stores and manufacturers held true value with quality of service. They could boast about it with satisfaction and give a guarantee. And there was no mile and a half long standing at the service counter at Christmas time to return their goods. The companies realized that most people really didn't care about quality. All they really cared about was low prices. The companies found it cost effective to make and ship their merchandise from overseas to here. They found it easier to do. Their cheap labor and their standards of quality were not the same. And the government was behind the agenda and made it possible with NAFTA. This lowered the standards below what most Americans were used to. However, because of greed and because of lying propaganda that lobbyists were able to push through with their agenda, compromise the quality all for a quick dollar. Who are the real compromisers tonight? Because there was no cry loud enough, there was no cry long enough, they continue. The government will regulate and control until he has a firm grip on everything, and it's coming. The entrepreneur with high standards and quality is choked out of business with government control. I'm asking you tonight, what is your perspective? Where are you looking from? What elevation have you set your standards to? Or are you setting your standards on? Are you satisfied with little happiness, with bad habits? Do you say, well, I'm really going to get it right? Are you satisfied with just feeling good or doing what or having or just having a small measure of happiness? I'm telling you, a good, straight, unbending, unalterable, unwavering, uncompromising, unnegotiable mind that tire is set high is looking for direction. It's looking for somebody to tell it what to do. And the Word of God does that very thing. We have an expectation, and that should be in the Word of God, that sets us on a rock. It makes our feet like hinds' feet, that we can travel on the jagged rocks of life and the circumstances that would hinder us. Your mind is sober, so you can have a sober mind. Your thinking and your perspective on life can be clear by the Word of God. What is truly valuable? Are we blinded? Well, do we have blind spots? Is your perspective correct about God and about yourself? Are you fooled in areas of your life? Do you lie a little? Do you bear a few false tales? Do you hate? Do you cheat the merchant and God with your tithes? Don't measure yourself with each other. Measure yourself against a higher standard, the Word and the Spirit of God. The only way to measure is to bring your life into prayer and read the instruction manual and compare yourself to that. It is the truth. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think upon these things. Amen. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard from and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. There is no real peace without God. You must have the Holy Ghost ruling and reigning in your life. And that, my friend, is true value. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will come into your life. And when life begins to shudder and to shake, God will give you peace in it. God will give you direction in it. You know, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. And the real difference is that we have Him in the storm, and they don't have a thing. All they've got is their money and their pride and their own ideas. And just remember, they're warped in their thinking because they don't know God. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God and cannot know the things of God. But friend, you're of God. And God can work through you. And God can speak to you. And God can reveal things to you because you're not of a carnal mind, because you're of a spiritual mind. I want you to know the battle tonight is a spiritual battle. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the disobedience of Christ. It's a spiritual battle, and we must fight it spiritually. We cannot fight it carnally. We cannot fight it with sword in hand, with bomb in the rear. We cannot fight it this way. But it's only fought in the mind of the fervent man that prays fervently. That's where it's at, in the mind. The battlefield's in the mind. And our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. So you can't just pick them up on your own. You got to go to Him together, because they're through God. We cannot take them up on our own, but we must go to Him who is the giver of power. Thank you, Jesus. Like I said, this is not a warfare that is fought with sword and spear in the hand of a young person fighting some political war somewhere, but it's in the mind of the righteous man whose fervent prayer avails much. Man or woman, it avails much. And in his arsenal, I'm telling you, is the Word of God. It is quick and it is powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So come on, mother and dad. Come on, Christian children. Get engaged. Get intact. Get upon this thing. Wrap your arms around it. Don't be afraid to pray when God tells you to at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't be afraid to get up and kneel on your legs, kneel on your knees. Don't be afraid to call after Him. Don't be afraid to lift your voice up to Him. He can hear you. He knows you. Reach out to Him. Stretch yourself. Don't be lazy. Get up. Jesus is coming. He is on His way. By the word of truth and by the power of God and by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand. That's the only way we can do it, with the armor of God. Our weapons are the fruits of the Spirit. Because this world hates, and they love to hate. But the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. I'm telling you, we are free, free, free. He is the great Peter. He sets free the captive. He lets go of those in bondage. It's up to Him to determine your end. I'm telling you, friend, you better get a hold of this thing, and you better grip on to it, and you better not let it go, because it faces eternity. We're getting ready to stand on the brink of judgment. I'm telling you that this world's in judgment. Getting ready to break wide open. The eastern skies are getting ready to split. We're getting ready to see a Jewish man. We're getting ready to see him and look him in the eyes. I'm telling you, the world is going to see him, and their eyeballs are going to melt in their mouth, their eye sockets, their tongue's going to melt right out of their mouth. Their bone, their flesh is going to melt right off of their bones. I'm telling you, God is a great God. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you may abide and quench, may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Every single one of them, everyone that flies your way, you're going to be able to stand against it. But remember, it's a warfare. It is a warfare, for we battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. I'm telling you, this evil world, this government is an evil government. And you may think I'm some kind of weirdo right wingist, but I'm telling you right now, we're headed for eternity. And somebody better get serious about living for God. The scripture said the violent take it by force. Come on, let's get with it. They're stealing your daughters. They're stealing your sons. They're making them alcoholics. They're making them suicidal. Come on, church. It's time to arise. We're called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You're not weaklings. But I believe that I'm speaking to some people who understand the severity of the time. And they can take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Just like the man of valor fought. He fought all day long, and the blood curdled his hand to the sword, and he couldn't get it out of his hand. It was stuck to his hand. I'm telling you, we need some people who will let that sword stick to their hand. I'm telling you, we need some people who will let the sword stick to their hand. All night, all day, meditate upon the word of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. And when you get ready to lay down at night, it's still in your hand. It's still stuck to your hand. You can't get it out. You say, Lord, I got to go to work tomorrow. But the word of God still rose through your mind. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, shall bring forth its fruit in season, and its leaf shall not wither. Whatever he lays his hand to, he will prosper. I'm telling you, the word of God is life, and it's powerful. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted as we outside. God knows all about it. There's nothing hid from him. Everything is naked and open. He is the great emancipator. And that's why that we can understand John 3:16. Because we understand who he is and what he's done. John 3:16 begins to take on a new meaning to us. Because we know that God is the greatest lover. He so loved, that is the greatest degree. The world, that is the greatest company. That he gave, that is the greatest act. His only begotten Son, that is the greatest gift. That whosoever, that is the greatest opportunity. Believeth, that is the greatest simplicity. In him, that is the greatest attraction. Should not perish, that is the greatest promise. But, that is the greatest difference. Have, that is the greatest assurity. Everlasting life, that is the greatest possession. 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 That is what we can have, maybe lose if we're not careful. The greatest possession that he gave. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm telling you, it's time for me and you to get out and claim the gospel. Get out of your homes and your comfort zone. Cast out from the seas into the middle of the ocean, into the deep water. Well, this begins to happen. There's great joy in reaching out to people. God is so good to us. He loves us with an unconditional love. We have such a great responsibility to him. The scripture says, For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the Spirit of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the fleshly man cannot know the things of God. It's enmity. The fleshly and carnal man cannot perceive the things of God. Another gift of the weapons in our warfare is revelation and inspiration. God will give us direction. God will show us the way. We don't have to guess. All we got to do is ask. For they that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I want to tell you, I'm going to reveal a lie the devil's been telling people. It is a lie that you have to see in every day. It is a lie. It is a lie. I'm telling you, it's a lie. Because the Bible says they that are led of God are the sons of God. Is God going to lead you to sin? No, he's not going to do that. But the only way a man is led to sin is he's enticed to do it. And because of their sin, the root of sin is there. He gives way to it. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not talking to a bunch of people, a bunch of sinners. I'm talking to men and women who want to get on board and start warring this war, battling this fight. I'm telling you, we got to battle. We got to stand up for our children. We have to. It's up to you and me. Who else is going to do it? When are we going to hear the call from the portals of glory saying, go, for surely the fields are white unto harvest. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us sound mind. He has given us those things as weapons because the world is distorted in the viewpoint. They don't even know God. Can you imagine having the scripture and not even understand it? I'm telling you, we have got a gift, the Holy Ghost, that will lead us and guide us into all truth. We have to use it to our advantage, to reach into the fires of hell and pull those out. We have to. We have an obligation to Him, to represent Him in such a way that He is glorified and He is magnified. Your life is not your own. You don't even own yourself. Do you realize you're not even your own? And if you pretend that you are, then you're fooling yourself. So you might as well get on your knees and seek God with all of your heart. And I'm talking to myself tonight. I'm realizing that I have to do that. I'm telling you, prayer is a wonderful thing. It changes things. It'll change you. That's a revelation right there. It'll change you. And that's who needs to change. Me. Sister Covey, you hit it right on the head when you said, God, change me. Change me. And that's probably the only time that we need to look at ourselves and when we realize, God, I need to change because there is something I need to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I really don't know how to shut this thing off, but God is good to us. I appreciate you letting me come here tonight and speak to you. Whatever it was I did. Lord bless you and I love you and I appreciate every one of you. So let's get on the back of this thing. Let's ride it for the glory of God. Praise the Lord.
Would you stand tonight? Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give our everything to Him tonight. Hallelujah. God wants us to surrender our all. We need to surrender our lives to God. Commit your way to the Lord. Give yourself to God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you, God, for the exhortation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This world doesn't have anything to offer. This world is full of turmoil and strife. But we found the answer. We found Jesus. We found the one and only. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why be devoured? Why be destroyed by the enemy? The adversary. Why allow him to destroy our lives when we can have everything? We can have Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Would you come around these altars tonight and let's spend time with the Lord?
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor.